You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire. Smoke. Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
Hour number two, Roto Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Sussman, Parson, Engel, Modica here with you this morning. Happy to have you on the program today. Before we hit the break, I mentioned Kenny Golladay, who is the boiling wide receiver out there in Detroit, scorching up draft boards. And somebody made this comparison.
What is Danny doing?
Nobody can see this.
What is he doing?
He's white balancing for television.
Oh. I'm sorry, Greg. I don't know. Greg, I'm very top of mind. You feel what I'm saying?
He does this every day.
You know what
day.
I'm saying? When he came in and he's standing behind me with his white cardboard. I don't know if Danny's is a police officer or not.
I don't know what's going on. You do, actually.
Is Danny a police officer?
He has blue hair.
Do we know if Danny
blue hair. How could he ever be a police officer?
Danny, do you have a badge? Are you in the control room downstairs with a wire on? Huh? No. Okay.
He will be partnering my team in the GST.
Actually, he does have a wire on, I believe, to the Rocket Rally's
management. Danny, I have a microphone here. Danny, you are getting out of the 8-team business, and you are joining the 12.
Just for those who don't know, Danny Okers is our...
Well, he's going to be...
Please talk into the mic, son.
He's going to be helping me get into the 12-team business. This is the first time.
Nice. So are you going to be at the draft on Sunday?
I will be.
Wow. Our team would be blue.
Danny Okers is our video manager here at Studio 34, and he comes to White Balance. he comes to White Balance every morning.
Yes,
it hasn't worked
yet. Scottish Legion.
All right, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Greg.
What do we got? So I was talking about Kenny Golladay.
Yes, I love him.
You do love him.
I love him.
Love him so
I
love much. Where talent. You take him? You love him. Where are you taking him?
I want to get him in double digit rounds. Put it like
do you
this.
You love him.
I know the hype train is going to start to rise, right?
Yes.
This is what I'm doing when it comes to Kenny Golladay. The first name that pops into my mind is Tyrell Williams. As long as he goes after Tyrell Williams, I'm fine.
Jake tweeted this yesterday.
Tyrell Williams is going in like the sixth round.
He's going in the sixth now?
Yes.
I figured you said Tyrell. I thought you could get Tyrell
Williams
in the eighth.
Shot up boards. He's shot up. Like you said, there's a reason for it.
About 12 hours ago or so, Jake tweeted this from he subtweeted Alex Gelhar. Because Gelhar tweeted, "Love Golladay as a player, and I'm happy to have him in Dynasty, but the redraft hype is getting intense. It's getting a bit Tajay Sharp-ish."
I think he's a different player than Tajay Sharp.
He is a different player than Tajay Sharp.
How do you know?
He's this big...
How do y'all know that?
Because you look at the size difference. Look at the scouting. You want the slot guy more... Well, you know, you should know this. Do you watch football, Corey?
Wait, hold on. You're calling out Corey. How much have you watched
exactly.
Kenny Golladay?
How do you know he's different than Tajay Sharp?
Because I watched the film on him. I told you.
I watched film on these guys.
He fits a role.
Where did he watch the film? Where did he go to college?
I forgot where he went to college. But I still watch the film, though. Watch a film, okay? You just watch the Giants, all right? Now, this guy fits a different role than what Tajay Sharp would. He's a big receiver, and they have a desperate need for that in the Lions' offense.
We'll be back. Run Rashford's in the morning after this.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
Love for Kenny Golladay continues pushing up draft boards. It's funny, as we mentioned during the break, about Corey Davis. Don't forget about him. Because, Matt, you put it perfectly during the break. That, listen, let him keep pushing down and pushing down. You're going to want to cut this mother effer but don't, because he's incredibly, incredibly talented. What was that, Corey?
Greg, you that's normally not your style, Greg, to use that forceful language.
I didn't say it.
No, but still, that was.
He's coming to the West Side.
That's already happened. You know what I'm saying?
Tomorrow.
How about that?
Something very interesting I read on SB Nation this week, though, about Galladay is that the pro comparison to him was Keyshawn Johnson. Which I felt was interesting. He also wears number 19, just like Keyshawn Johnson. And they said he's a big receiver with an elite skill set. And he's got really good separation quickness for a big guy. He can really pluck the ball out of the air. They said the problem with him is that is what Keyshawn had himself and what Bill Parcells told him early in his career. You are a big guy who tries to play like a small wide receiver. Use your big frame better. And, they're already saying in camp, that's the challenge for Galladay. He's got elite talent, but from a mental perspective, he needs to start playing more to his own skill set.
And Evan Silva tweeted out the other day the combine numbers between Kenny Galladay and, A.J. Green. It was pretty scary. They're measurable and stuff, everything. I'm not saying Kenny Galladay is going to be great and all that. But later on in your draft, I took him as my sixth wide receiver yesterday or 2 days ago.
See, that's good. That's a good range area right there. Mm-hmm. You don't want to have this dude in your starting lineup right away. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Can he work his way into your starting lineup? If he is the player that we think he is, he can. But to say But you can't say today that he's not Tajay Sharpe. You can't say that.
I agree.
Yeah, you can't say that today.
We don't know that. Hype.
Where was Tajay Sharpe?
Was it hype with a different player?
Tajay Sharpe. Nobody really talked about Tajay Sharpe until the preseason.
Nobody was talking about Kenny Galladay until the preseason.
Kenny Galladay was a third round pick. Nobody even knew who Sharpe was.
Sharpe was a fifth round pick.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There's a difference.
Two rounds.
Big
difference.
Here's
the difference for me. I owned zero shares of Tajay Sharpe last year, even with all the hype.
Okay.
And I own quite a few. I mean, it's more best ball. And 12 days ago, I was getting him in the 15th, 16th round.
I know what Corey's saying. He said he's not the same receiving in terms of preseason lightning across the sky? I don't think so, because I think he fits a certain role
for
the Lions.
He's what they exactly need, the Lions, right? Yeah. They need a red zone target at wide receiver.
Let's see here. Tajay Sharpe, I'm looking at a couple of drafts I did last year. Last season, Tajay Sharpe went undrafted in one, and in the other, he went undrafted. All right, he went undrafted in both, so never mind. Corey, you had a good question on Twitter you wanted to bring up.
Oh, yeah, and I lost it just that quick. Let me get back to it, because I just saw something very interesting on Twitter that I want to bring up. I'll tell you about it in the break, and then maybe we can talk about it on the Roto-Rash Express in the morning.
Look, if there's somebody out there that just is going to ridiculously overpay for Kenny Galladay, let them. If he's there at the right price and at the right receiver number for your team, then you take him.
Sure.
All right. PPR keeper. Right? This is a question comes at the Fantasy Exec at the Fantasy Exec on Twitter. PPR keeper. I'm going to leave Ty Montgomery out of it because he's not a part of it. Who would you rather keep? Demaryius Thomas or T.Y. Hilton?
Do we know how to do the same round?
No, there's no round attachment to it.
I'll take Hilton to me. As a keeper?
Yeah.
I'll take T.Y. also.
I'll take Hilton too.
Yeah.
Playing with Andrew Luck, yeah.
Andrew Luck's not playing.
But this is a keeper league. I'm not thinking about right now.
Flags fly forever. I'm thinking about flags right now.
No, I'm not thinking about this moment. If Dr. A says he's going to be good by week 3 and he'll probably be good by week 4 or 5, I'm not going to make a keeper decision based off of that.
Demaryius Thomas quarterback is good right now.
But
he's not Andrew Luck.
You've been saying if T.Y. Hilton falls into that early third, you're scooping him up, right?
Yeah.
That's where Demaryius Thomas usually goes. So if you had that choice, who are you going to take?
I think the Demaryius Thomas thing is very interesting to me right now.
I like
if
Demaryius
Luck wasn't
Thomas,
hurt, who would you take?
If Luck wasn't hurt, I would take T.Y. Hilton. If Luck wasn't hurt, I'd take T.Y. Hilton.
I can't look at it in today's lens. We're talking about a keeper league. Andrew Luck could be good by week 4.
You got to be, but he's not good now. He might not be good till week 7.
But what if Paxton Lynch is the quarterback?
Lynch is not going to be the quarterback. Trevor Simmons is going to be the quarterback.
And what's that going to mean? What's that going to mean?
Trevor Simmons is a better quarterback. He's better than Scott Tolzien.
I'm not comparing him to Scott Tolzien. Scott Tolzien don't quarterback the Colts.
At the current moment, The quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts is Scott Tolzien.
I get
right
too reactionary in the now.
But
I think
he's the
quarterback. He's a quarterback. Scott Tolzien is the quarterback.
He's not going to be the quarterback by week four.
All right.
Yeah, I'm like I said. Unless I hear something different, I'm currently for me it would be T.Y. Hilton.
For me, it's a tough call. And I go to my rankings that you can find in the Executive Edge Fantasy Football Package. That's available right now. RotoExperts.com. Use the promo code Frenzy. Guess what? They're ranked back-to-back. T.Y. Hilton and Demaryius Thomas.
All right.
I don't have a problem if you take Demaryius Thomas.
I like Demaryius Thomas. You know that. I'm going to go with T.Y. Hilton, though, in that scenario. I mentioned the Giants and potentially leading link to another running back. And Paul Perkins is their starter.
The bum.
We had this conversation a couple of days ago with regards to Orland Starkwa and Wayne Gallman and blah, 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 blah. Somebody around the NFL in an article wrote that if the Bengals cut Jeremy Hill or they want to trade Jeremy Hill, he could be a match for the New York Giants. Now, much like the Packers, I have agreed with Corey. You don't go to the New York Giants for your running game. You simply do not, because it's a team that does not run the football. But if they're going to run the football, around the goal line would make sense. If there's anything Jeremy Hill could do, it's run the ball in from the goal line. Not a bad match, Scotty.
Yeah, especially in a standard league. And you know, maybe if the change of scenery would help Hill. What was it? After his rookie season, this guy was going in the first round, and he's really, really fallen off in a big way. So maybe a change of scenery. He would instantly become like the best fantasy back on the Giants roster, obviously. And, you know, they can mix and match outside the 20s. They can hit it to Perkins here and Hill there and throw it to Vereen. And you know, I think it's a good match, if anything.
I mean, look, it's Darkwa and Gallman. I'm not a Jeremy Hill guy, but if the Giants have one deficiency, it's running. They don't do it anyway. But if they were going to, like you said, what does Jeremy Hill do? Well, it's that that goal line carries, and I don't think he's even that good. But I think he's an upgrade.
Yeah, I think so too. That also would obviously help Joe Mixon if that ever happened.
Yeah, but I'm not worried about
it. I know.
Really the one thing that Hill can do is score touchdowns. That's the one thing he can do.
He can, but I'm saying, like, him and Joe Mixon, you put the size there. I mean, I don't see why you have to.
You don't need Jeremy Hill if you're the Bengals, yeah.
Is anybody at this table drafting Jeremy Hill?
I have not.
No.
Who's Jeremy Hill?
Okay. Is anybody at this table drafting Giovanni Bernard?
I am.
You are?
Yeah.
So we're talking about past guys, your running backs before. He was not a name that we mentioned. Where are you drafting Gio Bernard?
He was going much later. He's starting to move up a little.
Okay.
I was getting him so cheap early on. Like you didn't have to. You like after 15th round, you know, you could get him in the 20th round early on. Now it's probably the 13th round. I'm trying to think. And at that point, why wouldn't you take a shot on a Gio Bernard if you want a pass catching back?
Scotty, can I interest you?
I don't think so. I think there's going to be too much of Mixon to the point where if I get to a bye week or an injury, I'm just going to say, I don't want Gio in my starting lineup. I just don't know what he's going to give me in any given week.
Well, I mean, if I had Mixon, say, in this third round, where third or fourth round, where I see him go consistently, and I think even Fantasy Pros, he has like a 39 ADP. So, you know, that's pretty much the third pick of the fourth round?
Yeah.
So I wouldn't mind having Gio Bernard on my team, taking a shot at him.
Corey,
no, I'm not. I can't fool with Gio Bernard. The only piece of that I want to play is that. I mean, he's a dollar Mickey Holler guy, but I think he'd end up on my bench. I'd rather take a player with some upside, like a Kamara or Deonta Foreman or something like that.
Yeah, I'd probably rather have Dwayne Washington.
You talk about me dying.
Yeah.
Scott, you're like falling on that grenade every day. Like you just run and jump right on.
Boom. I can't wait until the GST draft where you draft Dwayne
Washington.
I
took him in the flex.
I was proud of you.
Proud of you.
Yes.
How much younger are you than me? You can't be proud of me.
Oh,
but I appreciate the sentiment.
I can't be proud of you because I'm younger than you?
No.
What? Corey's proud of you. He's younger than you.
I tell my son I'm proud of him.
Well,
my colleagues.
I can tell my colleagues I'm proud of them.
No. So if
Danny's doing a tremendous job.
So if your boss is younger than you, he can't say he's proud of you.
He's my boss. That's different.
Oh. He's your host.
He's not my boss.
I am not your boss. But
I know where the sentiment's coming from. No, I love you anyway.
I think you hate us all, but that's okay.
I'm looking at a draft board from last night where Sam Perine went three rounds higher than Rob Kelly.
That's silly.
So it's still happening.
It's silly. Hey,
what you got? Because I think I might have something.
We'll find out what Corey has.
No glove, no love.
It's the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Ezekiel Elliott, Carl Anthony Towns, Corey Seager. Those are the rookies of the year, much like the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The fastest growing fantasy sports network on radio is completely free, 24/7. Listen to us live at fntsy.com/radio or download the app right now in the Google Play Store or on iTunes. So, for the record, during the break, I asked Corey, hey, what did you want to bring up? He's like, I'll tell you on the air. I'm like, what?
All right, here we go. Everybody listen up. I have a fantasy football team. I want to know your comfort level with this starting lineup right here. If you had to roll this starting, this was the team that you were going to battle with in week one. This is your starting lineup. You ready? I want to know how you gentlemen feel about this. I want you to rank this team from 1 to 10. 1 being it ain't nothing. 10 being I like it. All right? Simple.
10 would be I love it, I guess.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah. Correct, Matt. All right. The quarterback is Matthew Stafford. The running backs are Isaiah Crowell and Danny Woodhead. The wide receivers are A.J. Green, Golden Tate, Dante Moncrief, DeSean Jackson in the flex. The tight end is Austin Hooper.
Six.
Six, Matt? Six, Scott?
Yeah.
Why six?
Don't like the running backs. They're not totally comfortable with the running backs. I don't like Crowell completely as a number one, but Woodhead, I'm very scared with the health as number two. Wide receivers, real quickly again, A.J. Green and who else?
A.J. Green, Golden Tate, Dante Moncrief, DeSean Jackson.
Yeah, third and fourth wide receivers, a little bit shaky for me. And Hooper is my starting tight end. I'd like to have him as a tight end two and, you know, see what happens.
Matt Modica?
I'll give it a seven.
Seven.
Possible it, 7.5.
It's funny. I was gonna say 6.5. So we're kind of all in the same spot.
So we're all in the same spot.
I just had the biggest Moncrief guy. That's you.
Same.
If you had,
I'm not the biggest Moncrief guy either. And with the third and fourth wide receivers, I think Austin Hooper. Not that I hate Austin Hooper, but I thought the tight end would be a little bit better on this team.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go 6.5.
Now, what if I told you on this team's bench in week one would be Ezekiel Elliott?
Well, that would change things.
And bump it up to a 7.
So then, this team, come week 6, let's just say.
Week 7.
Well, week 7, this team's Matthew Stafford, Isaiah Crowell, Ezekiel Elliott, A.J. Green, Golden Tate, Dante Moncrief.
Yeah, now I love now, now I like it.
It sounds different. 7.5. Yeah.
It sounds a lot better now, right?
Yeah.
It
sounds a lot better,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. So it's different ways you can do the Zeke thing. This is on, he took him at 2.5. A.J. Green, Ezekiel Elliott start. Got Crowell on the third. That was luck right there.
I don't know if it's luck anymore. I've been seeing him go in the fourth.
Please let that happen to me.
Yeah, look, he was at one point he was going like fifth and fourth.
I know why he's dropping.
You're saying the Duke Johnson love? You thinking that could be?
Nope. He's dropped. Well, Duke Johnson. I saw Duke Johnson in the seventh round of this draft. That's crazy. He's dropping because people are scared of DeSean Kizer being the Browns starting quarterback.
I don't think they should be.
I don't think they should be either.
I think for Crowell, that's a good thing.
What would scare me is the first thing I thought is Brock Osweiler started 2 consecutive preseason games. That's what scared me.
That would scare me too.
Yeah, but are they maybe auditioning Brock Osweiler for a team?
Yeah, they could be, yeah.
But see, the thing with Kizer is the arm is real. So, I mean, that's the good thing. It's the, you know, I just think he's... he needs to, you know, I don't think the decision-making is going to improve. And that's not, it's not, I'm not trying to knock him. It's just, you know, coming from college, that was an issue. So I don't think, you know, right now it's going to be like, well, you know what, Hugh Jackson's got him, he's got that correct. It's going to be a process.
He can move the offense, though. That's the thing when you look at for the other players.
Well, look at the offense, you know, I think it could still get moved. I mean, if I look at who the hell was quarterback last year.
Seven of them. And you know, interesting, too, because, you know, there's all this Mitchell Trubisky love, and then ESPN was reporting yesterday that Glennon still looks like the week one starter.
Well, let's listen. We knew that was gonna, they were going to say that. Let's wait till we preseason game two, which is this weekend. And if we see what we saw again, where Glennon sucks and Trubisky is awesome.
Vote of confidence trickling into the media.
Means nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. Wait, the Bears open at home, right?
Against the Falcons.
Against the Falcons. So I could see them starting Glennon week one and say the Falcons, like, blow them out. And Glennon's not good. And they're on the road week two. I think they might want to start him, you know, get him away.
Sure.
I don't know. I don't know because, like, look, you don't expect the Bears to beat the Falcons, but you want to start your team off, like, I think, in an NFL mentality, you know, of when you're looking at possibly how they're thinking from the inside here, and I'm speculating, you at least want to be competitive with the Falcons. You know, you want to give yourself the best chance to at least be competitive, if not win. And if Trubisky gives him that, he's got to start the season opener.
Well, I think they want to start with Glennon, but if they get blown out at home, number one, the fan base is just going to be irate. They're going to lose it. And if this kid Trubisky, say he has a fantastic camp, it continues on, and they don't give him the start, I think they're going to say, you know what, maybe it's not week two, maybe not even week three, but by week four, they're not going to, if Glennon isn't getting it done at some point early on, he's going to be in there.
What if Glennon continues to play badly throughout the preseason? You don't want to go into the regular season and say, you know, we want to get blown out in our first week. We at least want to see what competitive.
He actually played terrible the preseason.
Yeah, I mean, I think
he did last week.
I do think there's a chance. I do think there's a chance that we do see Mitchell Trubisky.
As the team starting quarterback at some point in the season, but definitely not
earlier than that. Not some point.
Wouldn't shock me if it's the opener.
You think they're going to start this dude in the opener?
They could.
The Tar Heels might not have started him in the opener this year.
Yeah, I don't think. I'll say this: I think it's Michael Sofino who put it out. Like the top five quarterbacks or the quarterbacks that go really early, they wind up averaging like 11 or 12 games. So I don't see from what we were able to see last week, and like I said, it was one time, but I think he did things that you just can't teach. So I'm going to take, if you give me, I got to go over 10.5, I'll go over.
Yeah, I'll go over too. I still want to see.
Corey
like
does have
see.
A point, though. I'm sorry, Greg. Corey does have a point that, like, you know, he said, you know, this guy does, in college, you know, like, the inexperience. Now, here's what I want to throw out here, though, is that.
ACC.
Is that Corey's making a point here, and it's interesting to bounce around, Greg, please. I'm sorry to interrupt you there, but like it's interesting to bounce around because you get vanilla looks in the preseason. What about when the Falcons are actually really preparing defensively for Trubisky in the season opener, or even let's say he doesn't start the season opener, what about when a defense, you know, is preparing for week three, week four, and he doesn't have that experience, what happens?
He's going to take his lumps like Peyton Manning and other players.
Like every quarterback in the history of the NFL.
He's not Peyton.
He don't have that kind of draft. I mean, he does have the draft capital, but this guy is not somebody that, you know what I'm saying, that you can put in the category of he's going to be a big-time NFL quarterback at some point. We don't know that. You knew Peyton Manning was going to be a big-time quarterback. You knew Peyton Manning was going to be a big-time NFL quarterback.
You didn't know Aaron Rodgers would be.
Yes, you did know.
Absolutely not. He sat in the green room for 3 hours.
Wait a minute, but everybody was talking up Aaron Rodgers. They were like, he was either going to go first or he was going to go 20th.
But he went 20th.
Exactly. Alex Smith went one that year.
So Trubisky could be good.
But both of those quarterbacks had pedigree to be big-time quarterbacks. Remember, Alex Smith in San Francisco was taking that team to the Super Bowl.
What about Russell Wilson and Dak Prescott?
What about them? Fourth round draft picks that came in there, they got an opportunity. No, they didn't have no draft capital behind them as coming into the game to be a big-time quarterback.
I'm not saying he's going to do it in year one or year two, but the fact that he started 13 games doesn't... It's what does he have? Does he have the talent to do it?
Sure.
Ultimately, but let's see how it goes.
Well, what I was trying to say.
Terrell Pryor had no pedigree as a wide receiver. So,
what I was trying to say is that Mitchell Trubisky is going to get another opportunity this week to impress us. Yes, against a vanilla defense, like you're saying, Scott. But I have a feeling, whether it be this week or next week, he's getting an opportunity to play with the first team offense too. Like, yes, you are 1,000% right. Play against a vanilla defense. Play with the backers. Play with Victor Cruz and Ruben Randall.
I got to pull up this guy's game log.
He's going to play. It wasn't. Forget the game log. It's just how he looked.
Huh? No, let's pull up his game log from college and see how he did against the good teams in the ACC.
Have fun.
Sure.
I have no idea. And no, I'm not,
you told me to have fun. Maybe I shouldn't.
You can do whatever you want. You can do whatever you want. I have no idea. All I know is that this team traded up to go draft this dude number two overall.
And they got Hag.
Okay.
And how do you know that? How could you say they got Hag?
They did get Hag. Everybody on draft night said they got Hag.
Who gives a crap what they said on draft night?
He hasn't played yet.
He hasn't played.
My point is, look at all the quarterbacks that won the Heisman Trophy that sucked in the NFL.
Sure.
You know. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm just saying, from what the kid was one game, but from what he was able to do, make the throws. That's what you want to see. I'm not saying he's going to be good year one. It might not be good year two. It's going to be a process. He's going to get.
All I'm saying is you cannot say this guy sucks yet. You have no idea.
I'm not saying he sucks, but we're putting him as the week one starter because he had a good half of a preseason game. Let's not jump all the way out there.
Who's he competing against?
He had a half of good preseason football.
Correct.
And now he's the week one starter?
He was the number two overall pick of the NFL draft.
He probably shouldn't have been.
Why?
But see, look, draft night, everybody, Bear fans. I remember seeing Ricky Sanders, killing the Bears. Everybody, all the talking heads, killed the Bears. What if this kid is really good? What if he is?
We don't know. And the thing is, why a number two pick? Look at the state of quarterback in the NFL.
Sure.
Look at the state of quarterback in the NFL.
It'll be interesting to see how it plays out. This Mitchell Trubisky love.
They went out and signed a quarterback, and they still drafted Trubisky.
Yeah, look who's competing against.
So they're only on the hook for 1 year, $14 million.
Correct. One year for Mike Glennon, $14 million. Nothing really, nothing significant for a starter.
Mike Glennon could turn out to be Matt Flynn.
Sure, he could. 100%. He could turn out to be Matt Flynn. And week one,
Mitchell Trubisky could be Achilles Smith.
Sure,
he could.
But Mitchell Trubisky in a different way could also be Russell Wilson and come in and earn the job.
That's harsh.
No one thought Russell Wilson was coming in and winning that job day one, and he did. Mitchell Trubisky was the number two overall pick. He could come in and do the same thing.
We'll see.
We will see indeed. When we come back, I want to talk about Trubisky again for a moment.
With Trubisky.
Well, I'm going to get my point out because you're arguing with me. Back after this.
It's the summer, but you can already feel the howl of the winter wind. You don't want to go to the beach. You want to break out that heavy coat and head for the stadium parking lot because nothing makes you feel warmer than football season. But you don't have to wait for the calendar to flip a few times at rotoexperts.com, where fantasy football season has already started. The award-winning team at Roto Experts has you ready for the new campaign with the return of the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package for 2017. Packed with tons of in-depth insights from the industry's top experts, we get you fully prepared for a championship campaign with a deluxe draft package that includes projections, strategy articles, sleepers, busts, a cheat sheet generator, and so much more. And you're guaranteed additional access throughout the regular season. So put your gloves on now, even while it's hot outside, and get into mid-season form. Go to rotoexperts.com and register for the 2017 Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Enter code FREERADIO at checkout for a very special discount.
When it came to Mitchell Trubisky, the point I wanted to make, ultimately, was if he plays with the first team offense, I want to know what this will do to Cameron Meredith. I want to know what this will do to Kevin White. I want to know what this will do to the pass catchers and Jordan Howard as well. Because we have talked a lot about Trubisky. We've talked a lot about Mike Glennon. We haven't talked enough about Kevin White and Cameron Meredith.
I'm a lot more comfortable drafting Jordan Howard now. Because I was worried, like Corey says, he only had 13 starts and stuff like that, which is reasonable. But just from what I saw, not saying that, like I said, he's going to go through struggles and stuff. But I just feel a lot more comfortable seeing that this kid has pretty much all the tools that they were saying, and he's able to do things in the NFL that you need to get done. Will he throw interceptions? Will he hold it too long at times? Absolutely. But Jordan Howard excelled with Matt Barkley as his quarterback. So if Matt Barkley can do it now, and after seeing what Trubisky did. I mean, what's his jacket size, by the way? So we got to get him fitted.
We do. We do have that gold. I have to get him fitted for that gold jacket. Corey, have you touched Cameron Meredith at all?
Cameron Meredith in your ranking? No, I haven't. I haven't. Well, I think I might have bumped him down a little bit because I'm scared that Mitch Trubisky is going to end up being this team's starting quarterback. I do not like this prospect of this guy being the starting quarterback. I'd much rather have Mike Glennon, a veteran guy with experience, but Glennon and Meredith was already having a rapport, so he's one of my guys. He's in the executive locker room, but I am moving down on him a little bit because I'm kind of scared of this rookie quarterback at some point taking over.
Yeah, I'm not moving Howard. I'm still of the same mindset that no matter who plays quarterback, I think defenses, when they draw it up, is saying, you know, let's focus on Howard, whether it's the rookie or Glennon. Let's let him beat us, and I think they're going to be more prepared for Howard. They're going to see more film on Howard. I'm not saying Howard's going to suck. You know, I still see him, you know, finishing at least top 15 or something like that. But I just don't think he's going to be quite as explosive as he was last year. It's a very good offense. I look at it both sides of it. It's a very good offensive line. He's a physical runner who could break tackles, but he's not quite in my top tier of RB1s.
Put it this way: I'm not concerned about Trubisky anymore. I'm more concerned about like the role that Benny Cunningham could have as a pass catcher on this team, you know, third down back or something like that. I don't think that's going to happen, but I'm saying, I mean, he seems to always creep in somehow, some way when he's on a team.
Seems to
wedge a little role for himself.
Again, that's one of the reasons people really like Todd Gurley now, because Benny Cunningham is no longer, obviously.
Yeah, Dunbar's gone, so.
By the way, I'd say the best team that Mr. Trubisky faced last year, other than Stanford in the Sun Bowl, which they lost, he went down to Florida State and won.
He did get a W. Yeah, I remember that week.
Florida State, listen to this stat. Against Florida State, well, listen, they weren't the same Florida State team that when Jameis was there, obviously.
Yeah, but Florida State came into the season last year as a team that people thought would be able to compete.
They were number 12 overall. UNC went into Tallahassee. They won. I mean, they lost other games they shouldn't have lost, to be fair. I mean, like, they lost to Duke. They lost to NC State. But they went down to Florida State. They won. Trubisky threw for 403.
That's a good game against that. It's NFL players in Florida State secondary.
Here's his last college game was against Stanford, and Stanford also has a ton of college players, obviously, with David Shaw. Trubisky threw for 280, two touchdowns, two interceptions.
He did good against a good competition.
Not bad. He did okay. All right. Let's have a little auction fun, gentlemen. Let's have a little auction fun. I'll get my auction hat back on. I'll get on the stage. I'll get my little stick. And we'll get ready to go. Here we go. First man up for bid here. Starting the bidding at $5. $5 for Cameron Meredith. $5 is the bid for Cam Meredith right now. $8 is Corey Parson. $9 for Matt Modica. $9 for Cameron Meredith. $9 for Bears wide receiver Cameron Meredith. $9 for Meredith going once. $9 to Modica. Cameron Meredith going twice.
$10
says Corey Parson on Cameron Meredith. Cameron Meredith going once to Corey Parson at $10. Cameron Meredith going twice to Corey Parson at $10. Cameron Meredith has been sold to Corey Parson at $10. Now, he's been your guy. Cameron Meredith, I think, is a really nice price for you, $10. For me, I had Cameron Meredith even higher than that as more of a $15 player. So
no doubt. I think he's in that 15 to 18. Not 18.
15. 10 to 15.
That 12 to 15, put it like that. So he's in that range right there. Listen, when I'm putting Cameron Meredith right, before I was putting him as a flex on my teams. Right now, I kind of probably want him on my bench to see if he pops because I don't know what his quarterback situation is going to be. But he's going to be the number one pass catching target in that offense. So
more than Kevin White, are we sure?
Who the hell is Kevin White?
I don't know. I don't have an answer.
Kevin White is Carmen San Diego.
Where in the world is Kevin White?
I can't do the Kevin White thing.
Can anybody else at this table do the Kevin White thing?
For cheap, yeah. I'll take a shot of Kevin.
For cheap, what is cheap? How much? How much? $4. So you spend $4 on Kevin White.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, I'd like to get him for definitely under $5, but that $3-4 range.
Okay, fair enough. Let's continue on. I'm going to do the wide receiver that I have next to Cameron Meredith in my rankings. Up for bid right now at the same $5 starting price is Devontae Parker. Devontae Parker up for $5.
Seven.
$7 is Matt. $7 for
nine.
$9 for Devontae Parker. Go up to 10 for Matt Modiga. $10 for Devontae Parker.
Go 11.
11 says Corey Parson. $11 for Devontae Parker. Miami Dolphins starting wide receiver. $11 for Devontae Parker going once to Corey Parson. $11 for Devontae Parker going twice to Corey Parson.
$12
says Matt Modiga. $12 up for Devontae Parker. $12 for Devontae Parker going once. $12 for Devontae Parker to Matt Modiga.
13.
Going twice. $13 says Corey Parson on Devontae Parker. $13 for Parker going once to CP. $13 Corey Parson has Devontae Parker. That is now going twice. $13 for Devontae Parker is sold to Corey Parson, the fantasy executive, for $13.
I'm trying to get in on some of this action with Jay Cutler. You know Jay Cutler's a wild man. He's going to throw the football around and feel all crazy. I think it makes things better. I've been, even when it was Matt Moore, I've been saying since we started talking football, I'm in on Parker if that bum Ryan Tannehill's not the quarterback. Unfortunately, it took injury to get. I mean, and I don't want the guy to get injured, obviously. But Tannehill gets injured.
It's on Eric Thames.
And I back up my word. I come right back to my son Devontae Parker. So there you go, right there.
I've been the high guy on Parker.
Clearly not. This is clearly not today.
I've been. You know, Corey bumped him up. Corey didn't want him, but now, like you said, Cutler's quarterback in there. I might have went 13, depending if I needed it. I'm more comfortable in that 10 range. I went a little higher than that. But I feel much better that it is Cutler as well.
As I said, I had Cameron Meredith and Devontae Parker back to back in my rankings. I had them both at about $15 per player.
Yep.
Here you go. They both go a little bit under, so maybe I'm slightly overreaching on both Parker and Meredith there. Scott, you didn't bid on either the player. Not interested?
Meredith quarterback situation shaky. I feel like he has to prove it over a full season. With Parker, I was lurking and seeing where the bidding would go, and you know maybe I was going to jump in at the end, and it went a little bit higher than I wanted it to.
Okay, fair enough. So let's continue on with this auction value. Your auction values continue on with the wide receiver. I'm going to do another wide receiver in the same range. We're going to do my guy, Jeremy Maclin, who we'll talk about a little bit in next hour. Jeremy Maclin, up for a bid, we'll start him at $5. $5 for Jeremy Maclin. $5. Anyone, $6, says the fantasy executive.
$6
for Jeremy Maclin. $6, says the fantasy executive. $9, $3 jump for the king, Scott Angle. $9 for Jeremy Maclin. Corey, he'll go 10. 10 11. Bucks. 11. Says Matt Modiga. $11 for Matt Modiga for Jeremy Maclin. $11 to Matt going once. $11.
12.
$12 for King Scott Angle. $12 for Jeremy Maclin. $12 for
13.
13. There it is. $13 for Jeremy Maclin. $13 for Jeremy Maclin to Corey Parson. $13 going once. $13 is the price for Jeremy Maclin. $13 going twice. $13 Jeremy Maclin. $13 sold once again to the fantasy executive.
$13 is a good price for Jeremy Maclin. Yeah. That's it right there. Like, I'm not really saying that I want him on my team or something like that, you know, but I'm willing to do it. I got a team with Jeremy Maclin on it that's going to play out. I got him as a flex.
We're going to talk about Jeremy Maclin a little bit next hour. Chris Raven has a nice point about him, which I found interesting, so we'll do that coming up next hour. And Maclin, as I said, falls into this range with Parker, with Meredith. Very similar spot for him and for me there.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, there you go.
I like Maclin. You know, they had to replace Steve Smith ultimately somehow. I think Macklin's getting overlooked. Veteran receiver, veteran, wily, smart, high football IQ wide receiver, playing with a better quarterback, Joe Flacco, than Alex Smith. I think he's kind of underrated.
All right. The next player up for bid, we'll do the last player before we hit the break here. It's going to be Willie Snead. Willie Snead is up for bid. Let's do it. Willie Snead, $5 is what we're looking for here. $5. $10.
I go 11 for Snead.
12.
12 to Matt Modiga.
$12 to Matt Modiga, Willie Snead. $12 to Matt Modiga for Willie Snead at the moment. $12 going once to Matty Moe. $12 to Matty Moe going once. Going twice now. Let me get twice for Matt Modiga and Willie Snead. $12 for Matt Modica, Willie Sneed. That is sold to Matt Modica.
Matt, let me ask you a question, Matt. Well, how do you feel about the $12 purchase of New Orleans Saint wide receiver Willie Sneed?
Look, I like him. You know, he's, you know, this guy, you know, he's going to step up, okay? You know, they got rid of Brandon Cooks. I'm in on Willie Sneed. He's proven in a PPR. I like this guy, and the touchdowns may go up more this year.
Okay, all right. Well, when you look at the situation with Sneed, obviously, you know, you got other players, other weapons in that offense like Kobe Fleener and stuff like that. You think Willie Sneed is, if you look at,
this is a powerful offense. You know, they're going to get him the ball.
Where would you draft him?
I'd take him in like the seventh round.
Okay,
Well, it depends on my, you know, whether I'm playing for $20 million or $40.
Okay. Good to know.
We'll come back with more Matt Modica right after this.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
I found this range, guys, of wide receivers. They're all kind of going in a similar spot, right? Everyone we have named thus far, Parker, Meredith, Sneed, and Macklin, have all gone for really $12 or $13, basically. How would you rank those four gentlemen, Scott?
Parker, Sneed, Meredith, and the other one was?
Macklin.
Parker, Sneed, Meredith, Macklin. I go Macklin, Sneed, Macklin, Meredith, Parker.
What's interesting, because you were not in the bidding on Meredith, but you were in Parker, which is kind of interesting. You're not in, but you were lurking.
I didn't bid on either one. It was the same approach. I was lurking to see where it went.
Okay, for both of them.
Yeah.
Okay.
But why, you know, was what?
It's a different mentality, though, when you're in an auction. Mm-hmm. I think the listener needs to hear it. It's not about where you rank guys in a draft. It's like, when he comes up, if he's not one of my guys in that hot zone, I'm not going to bid aggressively on him. I may lurk back or something like that.
Okay.
It's not based on pure rankings. It's, I'm going on feel like, is this one of my guys? If not, I can let him slip and wait till later in the auction.
Corey.
Yo.
How would you rank those four players?
I'm sorry. Who was the fourth?
Sneed, Macklin, Parker, Meredith.
Sneed, Meredith, Parker, Macklin.
You're lowest on Macklin. How come?
Because I think he's low. I think he's lowest on talent at this stage of his career.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
He has an amazing opportunity. You know what I'm saying?
I like Macklin.
I don't have him ranked. They're all in the same range. All of them are wide receiver threes.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So I have no problem with
all those guys are wide receiver threes. I don't mind either. By the way, basically because we're talking about it now. Raven wrote this. Baltimore tends to make their free agent wide receiver their primary receiving option every time they bring it in. When they brought in Steve Smith, Torrey Smith's numbers went down. When they brought in Mike Wallace, Steve Smith's numbers went down.
Yeah.
They're gonna bring in Jerry Macklin. I expect Wallace's to go down and Jerry Macklin to go up. I expect him to lead his team in targets.
No, he's definitely gonna lead the team in targets, no doubt about that. That's why they brought him here. So the thing about it is, I worry about, has his skills declined any?
I don't think so. How old is he?
You look at the fact that he didn't look his best last season, so maybe you can say he was dealing with injuries last year.
And Alex Smith.
He's 29 years old, so he's still,
I like Macklin. The more we talk about him, the more I think when I want to bump him up. I got him at 31.
You got him at 31. Yeah. See, I got him at 39. His players I like a little bit more on the board than I like.
I'm at 33.
I like Jeremy Macklin, but I do not have an issue with putting Jeremy Macklin on my team as a flex.
This is a savvy veteran receiver playing with a good quarterback. I think Macklin could be an elite quarterback.
I have an issue with
elite NFL.
Scott said about Willie Sneed. So, Scott, grab one of those helmets. I'm going to slap you upside the head. Willie Sneed in the seventh round. I don't know where that came from.
But look, I had to represent you. Let me say it right.
No, see, I do drafts. I know where players go. But you did have a great bargain at $12. That was fantastic.
But look, you know, this is where I wanted to go with that. You know,
wait, was it a $20 million?
But you know, if I had two different leagues, you know, I might want it the other way.
He'd be in any range at $12.
I feel you on that.
Very interesting. Now that you're two nats here,
he said, Scott, he said you don't do drafts.
What?
He said you don't do drafts.
No, I don't
Scott.
Do $10 million drafts.
No, well, in the seventh round, he's going. I draft him in the fifth round, but I see him go in the early fourth at times.
All right, one more wide receiver.
I think I'll take him in the third. I like him more now.
One more wide receiver.
Let's do it.
In this range, I want to give it up to you. It's one of your guys, Corey Parson. Up next for bidding, $5 starting bid is Tyrell Williams. $10. He jumps it right up to $10 for Tyrell Williams. Tyrell Williams 14. For $10. $14, says Scott Angle, for Tyrell Williams. $14 for Tyrell Williams going once. $14 for Tyrell Williams going twice. Tyrell Williams, sir, is yours, Scott Angle. $14, higher than any wide receiver you name. What do you have him ranked?
I have Tyrell Williams at 27.
27. Very, very.
That's aggressive, Scott. I want to talk about that.
And we will, when we go live on the Fantasy Sports Network, coming up next.